Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, when your spoil will be divided in your midst. We just read, end of chapter 13, that in the last days, when finally Israel look upon the one whom they pierced, Jesus, and they repent, two-thirds of them in the land are going to be killed, and the other third are going to be tested terribly by fire, in whatever form that takes. And now he continues here, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be taken. So don't think that Israel, as it is now, is going to survive, and the Israeli military and Israeli strength is going to somehow go on forever. It won't. And it's the surrounding nations, we were told in the last chapter, who are going to come against Jerusalem to battle. And they're going to take the city, however briefly, but they will take it. The houses will be pillaged and the women raped. Half of the city will go out into captivity and the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Yahweh will go out and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very great valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And as the disciples stood there gazing up into heaven, two angels stood by them and said, "This same Jesus, whom you have seen go into heaven, shall so come in the same way." So it makes sense that he comes back to the Mount of Olives. And you've got that described here, that when he comes, he will come at a time when Jerusalem has been captured, when many of the people in Israel have been killed, and I think he comes when they repent, when finally they realize this is happening because we crucified Jesus. When they repent, then he comes to save them. When it seems that now they're all going to be destroyed, every single Jew is going to be destroyed, they repent, and suddenly Jesus appears. Now you can see how things are going in the Middle East. It's all leading up to this situation, that there is more and more hatred of Jewish people and of the state of Israel. The nations around Israel are gathering together, strengthening themselves. They're far stronger than they were hundreds of years ago. They're now armed and with many extremists amongst them who want to wipe out Israel. You can see how it's all coming together. You shall flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Yahweh my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. When Jesus comes, and he comes in the name of God, so it's like God coming, although Jesus is not God, but he will come with all the holy angels with him. And that's what you read here. He won't come alone. He comes with the angels. It will happen in that day that there will not be light, cold, or frost. It will be a unique day, which is known to Yahweh, not day, not night, but it will come to pass that at evening time there will be light. That may be saying that the meaning of time will be changed at the time that Jesus comes back. It will happen in that day that living waters will go out from Jerusalem, half toward the Eastern Sea, that's the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the Western Sea, the Mediterranean. In summer and winter it will be. So there's going to be big changes. It's going to be the earthquake that divides the Mount of Olives, and there's going to be living waters coming out from Jerusalem. Now that could have happened, actually, for the exiles, because Ezekiel tells them to go and build the temple that he was describing, and he says, if you do that, then there will be living waters will suddenly burst out of the temple that will heal wherever they come to. But they didn't build the temple as they were supposed to. But it will happen. It will come true in God's good time. Yahweh will be king over all the earth. This is the kingdom of God on earth. In that day, Yahweh will be declared as the one and only and his name unified. All the land will be made like the Arabah, from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem. She will be lifted up and will dwell in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate to the corner gate. Men will dwell there, and there will be no more curse, but Jerusalem will dwell safely. So there's going to be big physical changes in the Jerusalem area, and there will be no more curse. The curse that came upon the earth in the Garden of Eden will be taken away. Things will go back to how they were before Adam and Eve sinned. This will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples who fight against Jerusalem. Their flesh will consume away while they stand on their feet, their eyes will consume away in their sockets, and their tongue will consume away in their mouth. Sounds a bit to me like the results of nuclear radiation. It could be that these people use some kind of weapon that goes wrong and they actually do this to themselves. It will happen in that day that a great panic from Yahweh will be among them, and each of them will lay hold on the hand of his neighbor. His hand will rise up against the hand of his neighbor. So that's always how God prefers to destroy his enemies, by letting them destroy themselves, rather than him having to do it. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered together, gold, silver, and clothing in great abundance. So again, you see, it's the surrounding nations which are in view. The focus of the Bible is upon the land promised to Abraham, that is, Israel and the surrounding nations. I don't think it has much to say about the United Kingdom, Australia, America, Canada, Russia, whatever. So will be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the donkey, and of all the animals that will be in those camps as that plague. It will happen that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King Yahweh of armies and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So again, the nations that surround Israel, those of them who survive, will accept Yahweh as their God. It will be that whoever of all the families of the earth doesn't go up to Jerusalem to worship the King Yahweh of armies, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt doesn't go up, neither will it rain on them. This will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that don't go up to keep the Feast of Tents. This will be the punishment of Egypt. In that day, there will be on the bells of the horses, holiness to Yahweh. Well, that's what was written on the high priest's mitre, on the crown he wore. And I think the idea is that there will be spirituality on the smallest of things, even on horse bells. The pots in Yahweh's house will be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to Yahweh, and all those who sacrifice will come and take of them and cook in them. In that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of Yahweh. So finally, there will be no more temptation, there will be no more sin, there will be no more spiritual failure. That to me is the most wonderful thing about the kingdom, and we long for it. And if you love God, and if you really love his ways, then that is what, most of all, you look forward to.